Please join me as I pray, asking God to illuminate our hearts to hear His word. Let there be light in our minds, O Lord, sent through the reading and the hearing of your holy word. In its rich treasures, may we discover guidance for the living of this day. And we pray this through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The scripture reading is from Mark chapter 1, verses 21 through 28. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. The people were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, throwing him into convulsions and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once, his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Almost 34 years ago to the day, January 20th, 1981, I distinctly remember my first grade teacher ushering all of us out of the room into a larger room with other first graders because of a special announcement of breaking news. And the announcement was that 52 Americans were being set free after spending 444 days being held hostage in the nation of Iran. Now, as first graders, this was difficult for us to fathom, let alone just to understand the word hostage and what this country, Iran, was that was so seemingly so far away. And yet, we didn't understand the political ramifications behind it, but we knew, as the teacher explained to us, that what was happening was a powerful, significant event. And Mrs. Alexander explained to us that day that we needed to be thankful to live as free people because freedom is life-changing. Fast forward several years, and I was sitting in church with my grandmother, and I heard the pastor read the very verse that Cassandra read a little while ago. "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free." Galatians 5. And when I heard those words, I was immediately taken back to that incident that happened in first grade, and began to realize that the issue of freedom is something the Bible addresses as well, even in a more personal and significant manner, because it has to do with the freedom of being released from the hostage of our own sin. And so the scriptures talk much about how faith in Christ sets us free. But the question is, how does faith in Jesus Christ set us free? That's the question that this story answers for us. It doesn't use the word freedom, but it actually gives us a living historical narrative example of what Paul was talking about when he says that Jesus sets us free. And it tells us that faith in Jesus Christ sets us free in two ways. It sets us free from scrutiny, and it sets us free for ministry. Okay, so how does faith in Jesus Christ set us free? It sets us free from scrutiny and for ministry. So let's look first of all. Faith in Jesus Christ sets you free from scrutiny. Now the story takes place essentially in a worship service. And Jesus is teaching. And it tells us that the people were astounded at his teaching because he was not teaching him the way their scribes taught them. Now, what does that mean? What did these scribes do? Well, the scribes were religious experts in the law, and they scrutinized people. They knew the Ten Commandments by heart. They knew the Old Testament by heart. And they used those things not to help people, but to hurt people, constantly reminding people that they didn't measure up, constantly making people feel terrible about themselves, constantly making themselves realize that they just didn't have what it takes to be a follower of God. Now, we're not living in ancient times where we have scribes doing the same thing, and yet, as a pastor, I know that every day people are facing scrutiny on the inside. We're scrutinizing ourselves. We're feeling guilty over the scrutiny that others give us. And Jesus is saying, enough. I've come to set you free. I'll give a couple examples. I recently came across a student handbook of a major Christian college. I won't give you the name, just in case any of you happen to graduate from there, but I don't know that anybody here did. I want to share with you just a brief excerpt of its rules of conduct. It begins by stating, since this university believes that Christian young people should manifest their loyalty to Jesus Christ by separated living, the institution does not permit unbiblical practices such as dancing, playing cards, and movie-going. Furthermore, mustaches and beards are not permitted because they are worldly. Neither do we permit any kind of music that is not classical or deeply religious, which does not include contemporary Christian rock music. Students may watch only G-rated movies, but not in a movie theater or in the dorm, but only at home with their parents during breaks. Now, let me just say, I'm not trying to cast judgment on that particular university. And if you have those types of scruples and you want to live that way, that's fine. My point is, did you notice the way they prefaced it? They simply prefaced it by saying, these things are unbiblical. In other words, it's fine to have those rules, but to say the Bible requires you to live this way places you under a type of scrutiny that Jesus does not impose upon anyone. It's what Jesus is talking about later on when he says to the scribes in the book of Luke, he says to them, you tie up heavy burdens and place them upon people's backs, and you are unwilling to lift a finger to ease the load. Now, it's easy for us to point fingers and say, well, you know, that's an extreme example. We think that's ridiculous too. But there are other ways that many of you probably suffer from the scrutiny of self every day. Perhaps something in your life happens that's tragic, and you start to think to yourself, oh no, this must be because of some sin in my life. God must be punishing me. Or perhaps you fail at something, at school, or a hobby, and you start to think to yourself, I guess this just means I'm not a very good person. I guess this means that God doesn't love me. You see, that's a self-scrutiny. That is not the kind of scrutiny that Jesus intends for us to live under. He came to set you free from that by proclaiming a message of love and grace and forgiveness. And so that's the reason they were astounded at his teaching. Jesus taught authoritatively, not as the scribes who imposed these rules that did not come from the authority of God. So that's the first way that faith in Christ sets us free. It sets us free from scrutiny. But there's a second way that it sets us free, and that's this. Faith in Jesus sets us free for ministry. Now, while Jesus is teaching, something very interesting happens. It says that a man with an unclean spirit stands up in the middle of the worship service and opposes Jesus. And he yells out to him, What have you to do with us? Have you come to destroy us? Now, let me say this. We're not really clear exactly what was happening or even exactly what Mark means by an unclean spirit. He doesn't use the same terminology that's often used that we see in the scriptures when it refers to demons. There are any number of things this could mean. It could mean that this was someone who simply was oppressed in some way. It could mean that he was simply offended that Jesus was teaching about this new way of grace. And he was standing up to publicly oppose Jesus, saying, no, we want to live under scrutiny. However, what's clear is that the man who stood up was clearly a dark and troubled soul. And what's clear about all of us is that there are times when we are all dark and troubled souls. But the point of this is that Jesus didn't criticize the guy. He didn't condemn him, nor did he avoid him. He ministered to him. Jesus never used his word to hurt people, ever. Very important for us to remember, because ministry is first and foremost about helping people by extending the free grace of Jesus to them in our words and our actions. That's what Jesus did for us when he died on the cross. I read earlier in the assurance of pardon from Colossians chapter 2, which says that when Jesus died on the cross, he freed us from the code that stood against us. In other words, he's saying he freed you from the scrutiny of the fear that God would condemn you. And he freed us from that kind of scrutiny, and he freed us for ministry, that we might minister to others who need to hear this. He freed us by canceling the written code that was against us. I love the imagery. I recently read a story in Reader's Digest about a man who was in England, traveling through, he was from England, traveling through Europe, and he owned a Rolls Royce. And when he decided to take a vacation to Germany and France, he put his Rolls Royce on a boat and had it shipped to Germany so that when he got there, he could drive it all over the rest of Europe. And as he was driving around Europe, something went wrong with the motor and the car died. And so he called the Rolls Royce people back in England and he asked them what he should do. And they flew a mechanic from England over to Germany, who stayed there for several nights, fixed his car, and then flew back to England. Now, as you can imagine, for those of you who know what car repair bills can look like, imagine your typical car repair bill with a plane ticket and several nights in a hotel and meals for the mechanic added onto it, not to mention it was a Rolls Royce. There was quite an expense coming. And so when this man returned to England, he wrote the Rolls Royce people and asked what he owed them for the repair and for the flight and for the hotel and for the meals for the mechanic and everything else that was involved, because he said he hadn't heard anything. A couple of more weeks went by and he inquired again. A couple more weeks went by and then he received a one-sentence letter from the Rolls Royce company stating as follows: Dear sir, thank you for your inquiry. We have absolutely no record anywhere that anything ever went wrong with a Rolls Royce. If we could all be so lucky. And yet, it's that type of shocking cancellation that the forgiveness of Jesus brings about. It's that type of shocking cancellation of our sins that frees us from feeling like we should constantly be under scrutiny from God, and it frees us to, in grace and forgiveness, minister to other people in a loving way. Let's pray. Almighty God, grant that the words we have heard this day may, through your grace, be so grafted within our hearts that they may bring forth in us the fruit of the Spirit, to the honor and praise of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.